you ever look at 1 John chapter 4, and verse 4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have not overcome them, because he who is in you is not as great as the one that is in the world. Are you all right? Are you awake now? It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You are of God. If you are of God, then you are an overcomer, because in you is a greater one than he that is in the world. Are you okay? You ever look at 1 John 5, just on the other side. 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The language of the overcomer is always past. It says, you have overcome them. And it says, if you're born of God, you are a world overcomer. Hallelujah. And it always speaks of the past, because the victory has already been won. Jesus is not going to the cross. Jesus has left the cross. Jesus is not going to the grave. Jesus has left the grave. Sin is conquered. Death is conquered. And if you are born of God and live in Christ, he that is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, half the things are made new. So if you live in Christ, you live in the overcomer. Like a seed in a fruit, the seed is in the fruit. And wherever you throw the fruit, the seed will go with it. You are in Christ, I am in Christ, and Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, just below the principalities and powers, far above all principalities and powers. And you and I live in him. Not only that, he lives in us. And the Bible says, you are born of him, which means that you are born of the insides of God. So you live in him and he lives in us. And you in him, him and you and I are in the Father. So when the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, therefore you're able to overcome. And when you're born of God, you overcome the world. And then it says this, but whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. If you're going to overcome the world, you have to live by faith. And faith you can buy from a $2 shop. Because if you could only get some faith, then you would be able to overcome. But you can't buy faith at a $2 shop. You can't buy faith at Myers or Kohl's or Whitkohl's or Decker's. Faith comes by hearing. That means you need to open your ears. You have to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So therefore, if you want faith, You have to go to this book. You have to hear what God is saying and hear it. Hello? Because if you're going to be an overcomer, you have to hear the word of God. Have to hear God speaks into your life, into your heart. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the world will pass away and the heavens will pass away, but not one jot or tittle. That means the dot on the I or the cross on a T. Not one jot or tittle of this word will pass away. That means the enduring power of the Bible will last after the sun has gone cold. The heavens will pass away. The earth will pass away. You may dislike this book, but this book will last. It'll be here after you're gone. It'll be here after everything that you see is disappeared. And this is where faith comes from. And if you want to get faith, you have to get into this book and know the author of the book. The author of the book is Jesus Christ. All scripture was written by the Spirit of God, hallelujah, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the human being may learn to live. That means if you live without this book, you may be able to live, but you will come far short of God's ideal for your life. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now the Bible says, in his light we see light. In his light we see light. In the light of the word, you see light. In the light of who Jesus is, you see light. You see, you can't see light. Well, you can actually see light, but you can't see light without his light. Are you all right? Hallelujah. That means you have to find out what life is all about from here. I see experts in stupidity trying to argue about the existence of God. And I tell them, you're breathing God's air and you're drinking God's water and you try to find out and you say there's no God. How stupid can you be and still breathe? I picked up a hitchhiker. He was a student studying at one of our universities. And there was a Bible in the front of the, you know, those big seats in the cars. You know, now we've got bucket seats, you know. But I had the Bible there, and I picked him up, and he saw the Bible. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to do a Bible study. He said, I don't believe in God. I said, you're stupid. You never answer a fool according to his folly. Why? Because otherwise he thinks he's smart. And I said to him, what do you do? He said, I'm studying at a university. I said, so what do you study? And then he said, we study that. I said, you're breathing God's air and you don't believe in the one that gives you air. How stupid can you be? See, it's only in his light that we see light. It's only as we know him that we see and understand certain things. In the lab, you prove something before you believe in it. So you have to actually prove something in order for you to believe. In God, you don't prove something to believe. You believe, and then the proof comes after. By faith, we understand. In the world, by understanding, we have faith. But in God, by faith, we understand. Why? Because if faith comes by this book, then you need to hear this book and hear the author of the book. For you to have this commodity called faith, that commodity called faith will overcome every obstacle, it'll overcome the world. Hallelujah. So when the Bible tells you to forgive, your natural tendency is, I don't want to forgive. I want revenge. If you got hit by somebody, you want to hit them back. If you got punched in the face, if you punch me in the face, you'll get 7 punches back. That's a natural tendency. We want revenge. But the book says, if you want to be set free, learn to forgive. And when you learn to forgive, it's a commodity that's outside your understanding. And you can only see that light in His light. And when you forgive, release comes. Because the greatest manifestation of holiness is forgiveness. God is holy. Man is a sinner. You can't bridge that gap. If you are the Springboks and you're the All Blacks, sometimes you bridge that gap. I'm just having fun. I've got good news for you. Did you hear the good news? The All Blacks got lost. That's good news. You say, that's bad news. If you were South African, that would be very, very good news. If you're a New Zealander, the anointing will go down in many churches today because the All Blacks lost. Hello? I just thought I'll enjoy that. Hallelujah. Are you okay? A strange doctrine, my wife says. My wife said something really funny at the women's conference. He said, it's funny you can love somebody so much and you want to kill them at the same time. Hallelujah. Where were we? You can't bridge the gap. See, God is holy. Man's a sinner. So how do you bridge that gap? Out of holiness comes love. God loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever, whether you live in a gutter or you live in a mansion, whosoever believeth in Christ Jesus, what He has done shall be saved. Hallelujah. Regardless of your color, your background, your education, your wealth, where you live, if you believe in Christ, whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. So out of holiness comes this love. And out of love comes grace. Out of grace comes mercy. And out of mercy comes forgiveness. So the greatest manifestation of holiness is learning to forgive those that have wronged you. But that's a light you will never see outside the light of Christ. See, if our parents abused us, we want revenge. We want justice. If something happens to us, we want justice. We want to pay back. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And sometimes you have to learn to forgive at the most painful of your moments. Don't tell me it was easy. He's running out of blood. His heart beats. He's breathing a lot, but he can't breathe because all the joints of his body will come out of joint. had to stand on the nail on his feet just to say a few words. He's lost so much blood, and the heart is pumping more blood when there's nothing left in there. Hallelujah. But what did he do? He forgave. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells you to honor your mom and dad. And many kids said, I don't want to honor my mom and dad. You may not say it in those words, but your actions actually dishonor your mom and dad. But the Bible says, if you honor your parents, it shall be well. And there are many, many young people growing up, and they are struggling. They're struggling. They're trying to build their life. It's not that they don't want a good life. They want a good life. The only problem is they've forgotten what honor is. But if you learn to honor, well, the Bible does not say to honor the good parents and dishonor the bad ones. It just says honor your mom and dad. They don't always do the things that you think they should do. They don't always do things right. But honor is something that you don't have to, hello. If you're a child, and the Bible tells you to give honor where honor is due, then sometimes you don't have to earn that. You just have to give that. Are you okay? Very quiet in this Presbyterian church. Hallelujah. Amen. So, what happens when this thing called faith comes? And we shared last time we spoke, faith is one of the few words that the Bible actually defines. It says faith is a substance of things that you are hoping for. It's a substance. It's evidence of things that you can't see. So my question is, can you see God? Well, obviously, the answer is no. But how do you know God? By faith. Faith is the evidence of things that you can't see. You see, when the Bible says, when you pray, pray this. Let your will be done on where? On earth as it is in heaven. Can you see heaven? No. Now, how can you do the will of heaven here if you can't see heaven? But what the Bible is saying is you have to do the will of heaven, something that you can't see here in the realm that you live, up the scene. So even though you've never been to heaven, you don't know that where heaven is, except when you go to the scriptures. You've never seen God with your physical eyes. How can you do the will of somebody unseen down here in the scene? By faith. Are you all right? Is this okay? Because otherwise Jesus is totally unfair when he tells you to pray, let his will be done on earth, let his kingdom come. So what he's saying is, let that which is unseen, the will of the unseen, be done in the seen, hallelujah, and let the kingdom that is unseen be seen down here. Hallelujah. So faith has to do with two realities. The reality of the unseen and the reality of the seen. the reality of heaven and the reality of earth, the reality of the spiritual dimension and the reality of the physical, natural dimension. I want you to know something. If you're a Maori, you don't have to be told that the spiritual realm is real. You know it's real. You only have to be educated to say it's not real. And then when you encounter this unseen realm, you try to understand it with your head. And you try to believe it when you understand it. Wrong. It's already there. When you believe it, then comes understanding. If you don't believe it, don't try and figure it out in your head. You'll get demon possessed and go to hell still trying to figure it out. Are you all right? Now, our problem in the West, we try to intellectualize the spiritual dimension. And there are people with three-piece suits that live in their high-rise buildings that are demon-possessed. And everybody respects them because of their job and their position and their wealth. Are you okay? So faith has to do with these two realities. I want you to know something. The chair that you sit on is real, but it's no more real than the spiritual dimension. In fact, the spiritual things are more real than what you're sitting on. That chair will rot. You'll throw it away, the spiritual dimension will still be there. In fact, the physical dimension is a product of the spiritual dimension. You were made in the image of God. God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Are you all right? So, hallelujah. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you hear the word of God, the more faith comes. In fact, you don't have to go look for faith. Faith always comes. Every time your ears are open, every time God speaks, every time the word of God is ministered, faith comes. You don't have to go chase it. You just have to be at a place where God speaks, and when he does, faith will come. Hallelujah. When that faith comes, it gives you the potential to overcome. Hallelujah. Let me demonstrate it again. We've done it before. We'll do it again. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. So it is a substance. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So it's evidence. There are two pillars of faith, substance and evidence. Evidence means something real exists. Substance means it's a mass that occupies space. Are you okay? So when the word of God is ministered, faith comes. See, right up here is empty space. If I move here, mass now occupies space. Is that right? When faith is, when the word of God is heard, mass occupies space in your heart. spiritual dimension move into your heart and occupy space in your heart. Evidence of something real that exists that you can't see now becomes a reality. Hallelujah. You know there's a country called Samoa? How many of you have been to Samoa? How many have not? See, just because you haven't been there doesn't mean it's not there. You know why? I come from there. I'm evidence that it's there. Just looking at me and said, where's he from? He's from Samoa. Where's Samoa? I don't know. But it must exist. Why? Because there's the evidence that's, hello? Now, you never have been, you've never been to heaven, but heaven is real. Why? Because somebody came from heaven. Came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Now, he came. Now, just because he was rejected by his own does not mean that he didn't come. He came. Where did he come from? He came from heaven. And when he said, let the will of God in heaven be done on earth as it is in heaven, he knows why. Because he's the evidence that heaven actually exists. And you don't have to be stupid. So, well, what's the proof? The whole history. It's the proof. The universe is the proof. The heavens declare the glory of God. Hallelujah. Universe. Uni means one. Verse means what? Word. Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Hallelujah. But he's the Word from the beginning to the end. And the universe. Hallelujah. So faith is evidence that heaven is real. The substance of our hope. Now, one of the things God does is really funny. It's so glaring. It's so glaring you miss it. You know what the Bible says? God is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. Now, if God's a consuming fire, then he must put evidence somewhere that he's fire, eh? Huh? Now, how many stars can you count? Did you know every star is a ball of fire? You have to be stupid not to believe in God. I mean, the whole universe, the heavens, not just the clouds, not just the light, not just our sun, which is the smallest star, all the stars he knows by name, and every single star is a ball of fire. God is a consuming fire. Now, if you go to the depths of the ocean, what do you find? Fire. Here's a Jacques Cousteau. Some of you young kids don't know. But they go explore the bottom of the ocean, and here's lava coming up. In the midst of the depths of the sea, here's fire. So God puts his signature up there, and he puts his signature inside our earth. And if you stand before God and say, I did not know it was you, God will say, do you look up in the sky? Yeah. What do you see? Are you all right? I like, you know, the mentoring class. We have a mentoring class on Monday night, and we have it tomorrow night. But one of the questions is, how can Jesus be the only way? What about somebody who lives at the uttermost parts? Hello? Who built the uttermost parts? Give me a break! Are you stupid? You may have never been to Africa, but who made Africa? Who actually, hello? I mean, we come up with these questions because our brain's only about 2.5 pounds, 3 pounds big, and we try to figure out God with our brain. Are you all right? It's only in his light that we see light. So some of the ones in the mentoring class, what about they've never heard? What about, let me say this. If Jesus is God, and he is, and he said, no one can come to the Father but through me, and he's God. He's God. And if he said that, that means you can only find the Father through him. Are you all right? In his light, we see light. Hallelujah. So when you're dealing with faith, you're dealing with things seen and things unseen. Just because you haven't seen a demon does not mean he's not real. But some people will only believe in the spiritual dimension when they encounter a demon. But when you encounter a demon, Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That means, even though you're sitting there, you good-looking thing, there is actually somebody else living in you. Are you all right? There's somebody else living in you. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish. I've got 15 minutes. I'm sorry. Never mind. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So what God wants you and I to do is to lay hold of the promises of God and bring them down to where you are. Hallelujah. Now if you ever look at first at Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll make 3 points, then we'll go home. Ephesians 1, and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. So you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. But you got a problem. They are in the heavenly places. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. God's not going to bless you anymore. Every spiritual blessing has already been given. The Bible says, if he gave you Christ, how shall he not with Christ therefore give you all things? So all things are in Christ, and he has already given you him. And everything's in him. And the Bible says, God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. So what do you have to do? You have to go to heaven to get it. How do I get there? Well, you're blessed. Because the Bible says we are seated in the heavenly places with... Talk to me. So while you're walking down here, you're also seated up there. You actually function in two dimensions. You're seated in the heavenly places with Christ. That's where all the blessings are. But you have to bring that down from there to here. So you don't get it. Find the book. Believe the book. Walk the book. Walk by faith and not by sight. And learn to live as an overcomer. I said I was going to make 3 points, all right? Philippians 4:19. God will supply all your needs according to his riches. Where? So where are the riches? In glory. So you have to go to glory to get it. But it's all supplied. Every spiritual blessing is in the heavenly places in Christ. Your needs are met according to his riches, but his riches are in glory. You have to get to glory to get it. Now, how do you get to glory? By faith. See, when Jacob saw that ladder, the ladder reached glory and touched the planet Earth. So he went from Earth to heaven. There is a symbiotic relationship between heaven and Earth. All your needs are in glory. Everything that you need is there. Every promise of God, are yea and amen in Christ by us, in Christ by us. And we have to bring it down from where it is to where we are. Because when you learn to live in these two realms, this realm will be overcome. Are you all right? Now, in this realm, you can't walk on water. In that realm, now what did Peter walk on? He walked on the word. Faith comes by, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And said, come. So he walked on the word. Why? Because nobody can walk on water unless he's from that dimension. Are you all right? Are you okay? But when you have a word, you can walk on water. How many know you can break 5 loaves and 2 fishes until you're blue in the face? You can't even feed 2 Maoris with it. But when you give your 5 loaves and 2 fishes to a heavenly man, he can feed earthly thousands. Hallelujah. Are you okay? I made my 3 points, but I'll make it 4. You know, the Bible says, I think it's in Revelation 11 or 12, woe unto you who live on earth, because the devil has come down, and he's mad as a hatter. So if you actually live on earth, then you're going to be destroyed. Isn't that right? Because he's come down. But if he's come down and you don't live here, you're living in the heavenly places, he can't destroy you. Why? Because you walk by faith and not by sight. You walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. You live in the heavenly places, not on the earthly realm.